Welcome back to the Wildside News. And now, Sidney Wildsmith.
Lewis Carroll wrote the book on coloring beyond the boundary when he said, "I dream seven impossible things before breakfast." We're going to learn about seven possible things before the end of this show that just got real. So quit screeching about oil and prices and blah, blah, blah. Let's take a ride on the hydrogen car when we return here on the Wildside News.
Welcome back to the Wildside News. And now, Sidney Wildsmith.
Indeed, welcome back. You know, to the Wildside News here. When I heard the H2 car company announcement, I was skeptical. A hydrogen-powered car. More specifically, a hydrogen-powered Shelby Cobra. One of the most amazing race cars in the world. I figured, okay, what's the catch? Someone stuck a weird hydrogen engine into a Shelby Cobra and claim they've done something important. But the more I looked into this, the more I realized I was wrong. This is one of the most innovative, boundary-busting, and hope-filled realities for every person and animal and vista and community and nation on the planet. And here to tell you about it is one of the principals in the new hydrogen car company, Cole Freitas. Cole, welcome to the Wildside News.
Thank you, Cindy.
Let's lay it on the table here. You say you have a hydrogen-powered car. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, we have more than one car. And what we did is we announced several weeks ago that we had we are making available for sale Shelby Cobras that run off a hydrogen internal combustion engine, and those are for wealthy individuals, high-end users, celebrities, people who will get a lot of visibility, and we partnered up with Carroll Shelby to make those cars. But we also offer pickup trucks that are F-150s and Rangers that also run off internal combustion engines using hydrogen that are much more affordable and that are comparable or a little bit more expensive than F-150s and Rangers that are new and run off gasoline.
So, well, that is the point, actually. The Colby, of course, is great. I mean, that's an exciting car, and from what I understand, when you take this out on the test track, it performs.
Yeah, it's what we wanted to do was say you didn't have to lose speed, you didn't have to lose power. You can drive a big American car and feel good about it. What we were trying to say is, look, you can be an environmentalist and a patriot, or a patriot and an environmentalist, and you can be green at the same time. And what that means in practice is that, you know, we wanted to have a fast car, and Carroll Shelby has been a legend in terms of making cars that are built for speed. We wanted to keep those same type of performance and run it off a hydrogen engine, and instead of burning up the atmosphere, we just burn rubber.
Well, that's a great way to put it. You know, one thing that you said was that it isn't the American cars that really are the problem at all. Really, they're great cars. It is the fuel. Let's talk about hydrogen as a fuel and why this actually makes such a difference.
Yeah, I think that we look at this as a holistic effort. I think it would be naive, and we come and other people who are promoting hydrogen as a great fuel for the transportation sector have come under some criticism that what really matters is how you make the hydrogen. If you're making it from fossil fuels, in other words, hydrogen is just another form of energy, but it's all around us. It's the most abundant element in the universe, in fact. If it's made from using coal or natural gas and then reforming that in a steam process that basically produces the hydrogen, then you're just replacing one fossil fuel with another. And many in the environmental community say, look, this is not a long-term solution. What we're advocating for is hydrogen needs to be coupled with green sources, wind, solar, biomass, small hydro, geothermal, sources of energy that come from renewable long-lasting, sustainable sources that in the long run will help our environment. What we're trying to do with the hydrogen car company is put the sun into the gas tank. Take the solar, make energy out of it, combine that with water, extract the hydrogen, put that into the car, let the car run off hydrogen, burn that. It produces water, a little bit of nitrogen, much less than a normal gasoline producing car, and then take that water and recycle it again. And so our goal is to complete that perfect cycle, but that's not going to happen in a day. And when you're relying off Middle Eastern oil, it's just not a good thing to have to have political sacrifices for the sake of making sure that people's cars run. We're just not okay with that.
You know, it's important for people to understand where hydrogen comes from. Let's talk briefly about just really how simple this is, and also the basic resource. Where can we get hydrogen from? Let's start with that.
It's in a glass of water that you might be drinking right now. I mean, every kid in science class had to go through and perform an electrolysis function probably in about third grade or fifth grade. And all you got to do is simply combine electricity and water, and you can extract the hydrogen molecules. Hydrogen is combustible. It's totally abundant. It's everywhere. It's 75% of the universe is made up of it. It's an infinite source of supply for energy that can be harnessed anywhere at any time. You don't need an enormous infrastructure. You don't need to explore in faraway lands, extract hydrogen from the ground that's been forming there for 20 million years. It just doesn't work like that. And then ship it across an ocean, reform it again. You can have on-site generation of hydrogen as long as you have water and electricity.
Now, you know, just as an aside, I did this just to make sure I was right. In my bathroom, I took a little 12-volt inverter, exposed the leads, and stuck them in. I'm not going to encourage anybody to do this, but you could, you know. And guess what? Suddenly, little bubbles start coming up, and one side is oxygen, and one side is hydrogen. Can it get any easier than that?
No, it really can't, and I think that's why the enthusiasm for hydrogen. I mean, it's been around a long time, the thought that the transportation sector could run off hydrogen. And what happened was that the fuel cell, a very elegant electromagnetic process that promises to be extremely efficient in the conversion of hydrogen to electricity, is captured the imagination of many people, including the President of the United States. And what was ignored was that the internal combustion engine, which is also an extremely elegant and very mature piece of machinery, runs better off hydrogen, that simple hydrogen process that you did in your bathroom, runs better off that than it does more efficiently than gasoline. You have less energy loss, and it's better for the environment, and you can make it anywhere. So it's, you know, the wheel and the luggage were both, or the wheel and luggage were around for about 1,000 years each, and you know, it's only within the last 20 years we figured out how to put them together. And you know, this is what we're doing with hydrogen and the internal combustion engine. They've both been around a long time, very simple ideas. We just never connected the dots.
Here's what's amazing, folks. It's really this simple. Water is everywhere. Solar technologies are advancing quickly. So you put those two together, and you get all the hydrogen we'll ever need. Also, you have hydroelectric power plants, dams, that produce energy, electricity, but during the evenings, because or at other times when that isn't being consumed, it's just wasted. That enormous source of electricity could be used to create hydrogen. So really, it's a process now of just kind of transforming to realize that we can do this, to create the hydrogen, to create the means to produce it, and then actually to start looking at these cars. Cole, let's talk about your fleet of cars and really what's possible, okay?
Yeah, I think you know what's possible is that you can take an internal combustion engine and make it a run off hydrogen. The problem that that any one of your listeners would have if they wanted to buy our cars is they'd say, well, where do we fuel the thing up? And the major challenge for us is the infrastructure, and I don't want to be naive on this point. The governor of California said he'd like to put in a hydrogen highway, and we're extremely supportive of that. But there's some things out there that most people don't know, and that is there are a number of companies, including Stewart Energy, which has been a partner of ours, that is producing a home fueler, and you have all the elements in your home today to produce hydrogen. You have water and you have electricity. Combining that into electrolysis means that all you need is a tank to store the hydrogen. You can walk out in the morning, you can fill your car up, and you never have to go to a gas station again. That same car can also be used for a variety of stationary applications, but those are that's a reality that is today. The problem is the infrastructure and where you fuel the car. The infrastructure is going in very slowly, but what we're trying to do is stimulate that by not only getting the personal energy stations into people's homes, but also trying to make sure that we have the ability to get fueling stations in communities that have a central location where people can fuel up the cars. We could sell a car today for a very cost-competitive price, but the ability is we've also got to help you find a way to fuel that car back up.
Well, you know, there's a lot of visions for making this happen fast. Certainly the Apollo Alliance is one that I want people to become aware of. They are promoting this concept, and you fit right in with that vision of, in particular, focusing on hydrogen. So let me paint a little vision with the Hydrogen Car Company. And what? Give us that email address or your website quickly.
www.h2carco.com.
And here's the vision, folks. Take your SUV, take your pickup truck, take the school buses, take our vehicles, turn them into hydrogen right now, and let's get on with this thing and get the job done. What do you say, Cole?
I think that's great.
Okay. Thanks, Cole. We're going to talk again.
All right.
Here, thanks for being here. This is the end of a show. Next week, north to Alaska and beyond. This is Sidney Wildsmith saying adios until we meet again here on the Wild Side News.